What do you do to create a platform?
One of the easiest ways to begin is to build a website, even if it's just a simple home page that says who you are and what you do. And from there, you want to create a weekly or a monthly newsletter. That way, when people come to your website, you can invite them to join your mailing list and get your free newsletter as often as you put it out. This is a good way to begin building your email list, something that's going to be very important to a publisher down the road. Just as a reference, these are also called e-zines, and you really can decide how often they're going to come out and how much information is going to be in there. And it doesn't always have to be all of your personal information. Like quite often, I put out a monthly one to my list, and it'll have my personal reviews of movies that I liked and books that I've read and interesting things that I've come across, including an 800 number of how to get onto the don't call list for the telemarketers. So don't think that you have to come up with this tremendous amount of content in the beginning, but what you want to do is be able to offer some newsy, juicy tidbits of information to your growing email list of fans. One of the biggest mistakes new authors make is they think that they have to first write the book or the book proposal and then go out and look for the publisher. But in reality, the place you want to start is in building your platform, and that begins with the website, because by the time you get 2,000 names on your website, then you're ready to go talk to a publisher. I have to tell you a little story. I met with a publisher a few weeks ago who is the number one self-help publisher in the world today. And he had a stack of manuscripts behind him and a bunch of books. And I kiddingly said to him, "Oh, I see that you read a lot." And he looked at me very seriously and he said, "You know, I don't buy authors. I don't buy books. I buy platforms." And he was dead serious. And that's what publishers are looking for. They want to know how many fans you have out there already, which means by the time you get to the publisher, you want to be able to say, "My email database has 2,000 names in it. I've had 20 paid speeches. I've done 4 weekend workshops. Here's my list of speeches I'm going to be doing next year. Here are the interviews that I've done. Here's my press kit." They want to see all of this. If you decide to go sell a book before you have a platform, the first question they're going to say is, "Well, who's going to buy your book?" I mean, think about it. If you invent a new product, who are you going to sell it to? You need to be a commodity that they want to have. I frequently tell people, you're writing your book too soon. You have something important to say. You're on to something that's really great, but you're not ready to be an author yet. You need to get out there and get seasoned. Be adept at talking to the media. Be a good platform speaker. Have people who are just dying to get a hold of your book. And that's when you do the book. So then the next question always is, well, what do I sell in the meantime? And that's actually quite easy. You could create one little audio product to sell in the back of the room. Maybe it's just a 1-hour recording of your best tips of do's and don'ts, or stories of expert information that you happen to have. Or in my sister's case, for the 3 years she was a speaker before she had a book, she sold guided visualization tapes. And these tapes are still selling today. So when she did her Learning Annex appearances and when she spoke at the Unity churches, she did have a product to sell in the back of the room.
Ariel, how do I become a speaker?
You know, when I was in college, I took a speaking class. It might have been called Speaking 101, because like most people, my biggest fear was public speaking. And I'm embarrassed to say that I flunked out of that class, because every time I stood in front of the room to give my little speech, I promptly passed out. And after it happened the third time, I was thrown out of the class and I got a big old F in it. But I eventually did learn to become a speaker. It happened through 2 different ways. One is my favorite way, which is Toastmasters International. They have branches in almost every major city in this country. And it's just a delightful way to network, meet people in your community, and hone your skills as a platform speaker. Once you figure out what it is you have to say, what kind of information you want to share, the stuff that gets you really passionate, you can find all kinds of opportunities to speak within your community. The Rotaries Club, Lions Club, community groups, local hospitals, local schools, all have monthly or weekly meetings where they have guest speakers come in. You need to be inventive, you need to be creative, but if you start looking through the local paper at the calendar listings, you'll see who has guest speakers in. It'll say, you know, Monday, 12 o'clock, join us for lunch as we welcome Dr. So-and-so as he discusses the ABCs of easy parenting. You can become this expert. You just need to put some time and energy into first becoming a good speaker, and secondly, figuring out where you're going to be standing to share your wise information. In addition to the community groups, oftentimes you'll find certain types of stores bring in speakers. You may have heard of Whole Foods or Wild Oats. These are natural food grocery store chains across the country. And frequently, they'll have speakers who come in to talk about health-related issues, whether it's vitamins or nutraceuticals or organic foods or cooking classes. These stores all have a program director that are looking for people who will come in and speak for free. It's a great place to get your name out. They'll pass out your flyers. You can network with people, and you can start to hone your speaking skills. Other good places to hone your speaking skills include adult education places. Here in California, we have a thing called the Learning Annex. They're in San Diego, LA, and San Francisco. They're also in New York and Toronto. And they offer courses on everything from how to use the latest computer software program to how to strip for your husband. But their format for every class, whether it's health, relationships, money, or whatever, is the same. They ask their experts to come in with 3 hours worth of material. Now, they don't pay a lot. Usually, it's just a split of a percentage of what they collect at the door. But the reason you want to be a speaker at these places is because A, it gives you an opportunity to be out there, and B, most importantly, they put your photograph and your course description and your name in their magazine, which in the case of the Learning Annex goes out to 500,000 people every single month. In the enclosed reference guide, we give you lists of adult education places around the country. Getting booked to speak at these places is not as hard as you may think. What you want to do is get a hold of their magazine, look at the types of courses they're offering, read through the course descriptions, visit their website. They probably have downloadable applications, and then put together a real kick-ass workshop that you can offer them. Email them a little query letter, send them to your website, put a package in the mail, include your press kit, all the different topics you can speak on, a course description that looks strikingly similar to the course descriptions they have in their magazines, put it in the mail, and then start doing follow-up calls. These organizations go through speakers like we go through bathwater. They need dozens of new speakers every single month, so don't feel bad about nudging them. They're looking for you as much as you're looking for them. Another thing you'll want to put in your package is endorsement letters. If you spoke at the local Rotary Club, get a letter from the president. Say how much they enjoyed your speech, how impactful you were, how you've been asked back. Collect these letters. Every time you stand up and give a talk, even if it's for three people, ask them to write you an endorsement letter. Put these testimonials on your website, put them in your press kit, and feel free to use them because it will help convince other people to hire you as a speaker. When you're considering different topics to speak on, try to be seasonal and topical. Often the adult education places book 6 months in advance. So if it's now November and you want to speak in May, think about how you can twist your talk to fit things that are related to springtime or summer or kids being out of school or 4th of July. Always look for ways that you can be seasonal or topical. This makes it easier for them to think about you in ways they may not have before. When you submit your speaking topics, give them a list of choices. The one great thing about the human race is that we all pretty much are interested in the same thing. We're all interested in health, wealth, relationships, food, sex. If you can relate your topic to three or more of these, then you'll always have plenty of hot new topics to talk about. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you're a chiropractor, and mostly you're interested in having more patients come to you for adjustments, but you also happen to know a lot about stress. Now, who isn't suffering from stress these days? Maybe one of your talks can be how you can reduce stress in the workplace. As a chiropractor, you're an expert on posture, on the use of the body, and how we inadvertently create so much stress for ourselves just by the way we hold a pen or answer the phone. You can have topics that say, you know, are you killing yourself by squeezing your pen? You know, is your neck going to permanently go out of shape because you've got the phone crooked between your shoulder and your ear? This is a personal issue for me. I'm at the chiropractor every week because even though I know better, I've always got my head tilted to one side and I look like something from outer space as I'm typing with one hand and my head and my shoulder are going up to my ears and I'm completely throwing my spine out of whack. Get creative, get inventive. If you're not feeling creative, sit down with your best friend and just say, you know, what kind of advice do I give you all the time, whether you need it or not? You know, ask your friends, ask your family, what do I know a lot about? What kind of advice do you look to me to give to you? What is it that I can share that will forward my message? One of the really great things about getting out and speaking on a regular basis, besides the fact that it makes you a better speaker, is that it's the fastest way to make your database grow. The one thing I need you to promise me right now is that if you ever stand in front of a group and you speak, you don't leave that room until you leave with all their email addresses. These are the future buyers of your books and your other products. If you're going to speak, whether it's paid or for free, make sure you get these email addresses. So how do you do this? I mean, yeah, it's great if you have a volunteer who can walk around with a legal pad and copy them down for you, but it may be more effective to have little postcards that you leave on every seat and you tell them there's going to be a drawing at the end of your speech from these little postcards that they fill out and then give away something of value. You know, I don't care what it is, if it's a one-on-one session with you, if it's a fruit basket, just have something to give away as part of a drawing so that you can leave with every single person's email address.
Ariel, do I need a speaker's agent?
I get phone calls every day from people asking me if I can refer them to a good speaker's agent. And the truth is, if you're an unknown quantity, there aren't any agents out there that are going to take a chance on you. The reason is speaking agents make their fee by taking 25% of whatever it is you make. Until you're making about $10,000 per speech, it's unlikely you're going to get a high-level speaker's agent interested in you. But this isn't to discourage you. Most of the best-selling authors and speakers I know all started out booking themselves. And what this takes is a little bit of research, but thank God we have Google now, and a lot of elbow grease and smiling and dialing. Figure out, put together a wish list. Who would I want to be speaking for? But be realistic. If you're starting out, it's not going to be General Motors. But look in your area. Where could I be speaking? Are you a therapist? Do you have new information that parents need? Do you have information that health practitioners need? Or do you have nutritional information? Or have you just invented the easiest possible way to surf the internet? Figure out who do you want to be speaking to, and then just get on the phone and call and say, listen, I've got a great one-hour talk that teaches A, B, C, and D. I only charge $500. Can I send you a tape? Can I send you my press kit? And if you're lucky enough to have a very high energy, enthusiastic fan who's willing to do this for you, so much the better. I had a client last year who wrote a book called The Energy Addict. You may not have heard of him before. You will hear of him in the future because he's a really up-and-coming guy. And he had a big fan of his work, a young man named Daniel. Daniel got on the phone and started booking interviews and speaking engagements for him everywhere. Did he have any experience? Absolutely not. But he knew that what this man had to say was important, and he was so enthusiastic that he was very successful in booking all kinds of speaking engagements. So look around your community, see if there's somebody there who really believes and supports you, and then ask them, would you be willing to make 5 calls a day on my behalf to get me some speaking engagements? It's worth a try.
What about speaking at conferences?
There are many different kinds of conferences around the country. Some of them are lifestyle conferences where they sell booths, and if you buy a booth, you automatically get to be a speaker. And if you have products to sell, you may want to look into something within your field, whether it's health or finance or some kind of software product. Then there are trade conferences. So let's say that you're in the high-tech industry and you have a new product, a new software, a new back-end product, and you know what the major conferences are because you go to them all the time. Pick up the phone and find out who's in charge of booking the guest speakers. Start to build a relationship with that person. The next time you go to the conference, bring them a gift, take them to breakfast, take them to lunch. It may take a year or two until you get invited in as a speaker, but start building those bridges today. No matter what field you're in, there are conferences around the country that are looking for speakers. They're not going to know about you unless you introduce yourself to them. What does it take to do that? You need an excellent piece of tape that shows you speaking in front of an audience and an audience reacting to you. You need a solid press kit that gives your background and your credentials. And you need a list of who these people are. There's an organization called Meeting Planners International, and they have a conference every year. And all these meeting planners are the ones who are in charge of hiring the paid speakers for all the corporations in America. Go crash a Meeting Planners International conference. Go to their website, read their directories, start to learn everything you can about them because all of them have big budgets and they're hiring speakers every single day of the week. Coming up, I'm going to introduce you to a few of my friends who are some of the best platform speakers in the country today. They're all best-selling authors, and they all started off not being great speakers, not having a book, but eventually turned it into a career. I'm going to introduce you to my friend John Gordon, the Energy Addict, Mark Victor Hansen, my very good friend Cheryl Richardson, and they're going to share with you some of their early experiences as a speaker on the road to becoming an expert.
Ariel, if I were a beginning author, what should my expectations be in terms of launching my career, building a platform, and beginning my speaking tour?
Starting off as a new author and a new speaker, I think it's really important that you take things in baby steps and you don't have unrealistic expectations. Just like you didn't learn to walk in a day and you didn't learn to ride a bike in a day and you didn't get through college or graduate school in a day, building this new career is going to take years. It's a slow process. It's an educational process. It's about gaining new skills. It's about building a network of friends and supporters and fans. It's about using all the areas in which you have expertise and finding a cogent message and then going on a mission with your message. It doesn't happen overnight. Let me just give you one example. My sister, Debbie Ford, is now a New York Times number one best-selling author. But when she started in this business 10 years ago, she couldn't write a paragraph to save her life. Yes, she was educated and she's a smart girl, but she had to first learn how to write. She was a bit of a good speaker because she had been leading some workshops for Landmark Education, but nobody knew who she was. She did her very first talk at the Chopra Center in La Jolla for 8 people. Everybody gathered around her. They thought it was great. So then she led a weekend workshop. And then one of the local Unity churches heard about it, and they invited her to come in on a Friday night and do a 40-minute talk. And it was a very slow-growing process. The first 2 years, she mostly spoke to different adult education and church groups within the San Diego area. She didn't even write a book proposal till she'd been out there speaking for 3 years. She didn't become a best-selling author until 2 years after her book first came out. So you need to understand and give yourself the space to know that you're growing, you're learning, you're expanding. And I personally believe that the universe has timing for all of us. It's not going to happen the way we want it. We're not going to know in advance when it's going to happen. But if we believe in ourselves and believe in our dreams and put together a reasonable plan, eventually your day is going to come. And when that day comes, you want to be ready. And one of the best ways to get ready is start thinking now. When CNN calls, or God willing, Oprah calls, know exactly what you're going to wear. Go shopping today. Put that outfit in the closet. So when that big day comes, you don't have to think about, what am I going to wear? That's one of the most stressful things in the world. I get people calling me, oh my God, I'm about to be on TV. I've got nothing to wear. So you may not have your book yet. You may not have your speaking career. But you know what? Go out and buy that one amazing, great outfit that you really look good in and put it in the closet. And every time you look at it, just know that one day in the near future, you're going to be putting on that coat to go make your television debut.
So Ariel, what about my image? Tell me a little bit about creating a look for myself. What should I wear? How should I appear? What should my personality be? How can I improve my presence for television? How can I make myself even more attractive for radio and the media?
That is such a good question. It's really important that how you show up in front of a room and on television is professional, accessible, credible, friendly, and what you're wearing and how you're being is all a part of that. When you're first starting out as a speaker, one of the tricks I learned when I would get so afraid in the front of the room is I would think, who can I channel? Who's a great speaker that I can use as a role model so that I see myself looking through their eyes into the crowd so that I can be that graceful, calm, fabulous speaker? And for me, it was always my sister. I would pretend that I was Debbie in front of the room because Ariel was much too nervous and scared. But that was one thing that I did. People who know me know I'm not the greatest dresser in the world. I don't have the most fabulous sense of style. So I found help. I found personal shoppers at department stores who would help me put together my look for TV appearances. I found a great hairdresser. I learned how to put on my makeup for television. If you come and see me in my office, you won't see me camera ready. I don't wear makeup. But when I have to go on the road, I know how to look good. You need to understand about accessories and about jewelry and how all of this speaks to who you are and who you're being. If you want to show up as somebody who's respectable, somebody who's articulate, who has something to say and something to share, then it's very important that your hair looks right, your makeup looks right, your clothes, even your shoes have to be right. And it isn't frivolous. It's really, really important. Why do you think these Hollywood stars pay tens of thousands of dollars to have somebody dress them for opening night or for the Oscars or the Emmys or whatever? It's because image is important. And if you don't feel that great about yourself, then, you know, take a Jack Canfield self-esteem class. Learn to love yourself. Learn to be somebody great. And have an alter ego that you can put on. So if Ariel's not feeling so good today, you know, I can put on Ariel, who's very talented and who is very confident and knows how to be in front of a camera. And, you know, like they say in AA, fake it till you make it. You know, it works in every single area of building a platform.
So Ariel, tell me about building advocacy, because you've talked before about none of this happens overnight and to expect it to take 3 years or so. But when you hear about someone who got their lucky break or their big break, what did they do in order to reach that point in their career?
You know, I believe that luck is when preparation meets opportunity, and I'm sure I stole that from somebody, but I don't remember who. I've never seen any luck in this business, but what I have seen is a lot of hard work. If you're getting your name out there, getting your message out there with a lot of passion, networking in every place you can go, handing out your cards, handing out your books, and being of service to other people in this business, eventually you will get your quote-unquote lucky break. There are plenty of people out there just like you that are trying to make things happen. Be willing to share all your contacts. I've always had an open Rolodex. That's always been one of my fastest ways to befriend somebody who's in the business. I'd say, well, how can I help you? What can I do for you? Not what you can do for me. If you go out there with a win-win attitude, it's going to pay off. It may not pay off this week or next month, but eventually it will. Help other people and they will help you. And eventually the stars will align, the tipping point will be hit, and it will be your turn. For example, when I was doing the PR for the Chicken Soup for the Soul series for the first 3 years they were out, I got a call one day from Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield, and the first thing they said to me was, we want you to be rich. It's like, hey, that's great. Are you going to pay me more money? And they said, no, we want you to write a book with us. We want you to write a chicken soup book. And I said, well, what am I going to write about? And they said, well, that's what you need to figure out. Let us know. I called him back a few days later. I said, how about if I write chicken soup Soup for the Mystical Soul. And they said, yes, that's great. They sent me a contract. I spent 6 months gathering all these woo-woo stories and turned it in. And then I called them up and I said, when's my book coming out? And they went, well, there's a little bit of a problem. And it's like, well, what's the problem? They said, well, these stories are so out there, we're afraid that they might offend our audience. So to make a really long story short, they said, why don't you go out and do this book, but under another title, and we'll support you. Mark will write the foreword, Jack will write the introduction, we'll give you blurbs for the back cover, we'll completely support you, it just won't be a chicken soup book. And sure enough, my book series, Hot Chocolate for the Mystical Soul, came out, and Mark supported it, and Jack supported it. Did it lose any sales for them? I don't think so. They've sold 84 million books. I'm reaching 100,000. But it was such a good example to me about how they lived in the universe where there's enough for everybody. They were willing to share all their knowledge and wisdom of how to put a storybook together. They were willing to lend their name and put it on the cover of my book. And it was just fantastic for me. And not only was I a copycat book that did well, but there were many, many others. There was another book series called Chocolate for a Woman's Soul and Chocolate for a Lover's Soul. And there were plenty other people who came up with the same kind of chicken soup series. And Mark and Jack supported all of them. Did it hurt them? Absolutely not. Did it help them? You bet, because all of us that were beneficiaries of their generosity couldn't wait to find more ways that we could be of service to them. A more practical way to be out there in the world and to build advocacy would be to go to all the charities and the nonprofits in your area and offer to speak for free, offer to help put together a fundraiser for them. Use your network of family and friends to raise money for a cause that you believe in. One of the ways I built my business when I first started back in the 80s was by volunteering for lots of different boards and lots of different nonprofit organizations. Not only did I meet people that could help me later on, it was a good source of new business for me, and it let me use my speaking skills in a way that was giving back to the community, in a way that was being of service. So if you want to be out speaking and you can't find those paid speaking dates yet, start with the charities in your backyard that you most believe in. Offer to speak on their behalf. Become a fundraiser for them. Most times people who work in fundraising are shy and they don't want to ask for money. Be somebody who will go out and ask for money, and this will only help to grow and improve your own personal network.
One of the hottest, most remarkable ways to sell books these days is through internet marketing. And the queen of all of that is our guest today, Peggy McCall. I first heard about Peggy from a senior VP at HarperCollins who was raving about the tremendous success she had with some of their authors. Peggy is the author of two books. One is called On Being, The Creator of Your Destiny, The 8 Proven Secrets to Smart Success. And the other is a really cute title called On Being a Dog with a Bone. She's discovered an alternative way to market books that really works. She works for big publishers and individual authors. She also has a 48-hour online marketing campaign in which she manages to clear out most of the inventory of old books or new books. She also teaches this incredible best-selling mentoring program, which I'm going to tell you in the reference guide how to sign up for. I think she's terrific, and she's here today to share some of the secrets of marketing online. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Arielle. This is absolutely a pleasure for me to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, after you did that internet marketing campaign for Debbie's new book, The Best Year of Your Life, we were all so astounded at how the book went from zero to the top of the Amazon list, and the publisher was thrilled because they went into a third printing, that I thought this program wouldn't be complete unless we got to talk to you.
Wow, that's great. Well, I feel very honored. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So here's question number one. Can you share with this audience an overview of what's getting the best results for authors on the internet? And in there, throw in a couple of success stories.
Sure, my pleasure. Well, let's start with 3 years ago, I released my first book, and I'm an author, new author, self-published. I had absolutely no experience whatsoever in the book industry, and I started to look at what were the best methods of marketing my books on the Internet, and I realized that traditional methods were available. And I also recognize that there's risk involved in that, there's some work involved in that, and there's potential cost. I'm not saying that they don't work, because Ariel, you're living proof that they do, but when you know, you have to know how to do it right, of course, and I didn't. So rather than looking at that or just sort of taking a higher level view because your product wasn't available at that time, I decided to try a new approach to sell my books using the Internet. And it was basically from hearing of a success story of another author who had done something very similar but still very embryonic. No one had really followed this process before. But I got on the phone, I called this author who had run a campaign, and I asked him, what did you do? How did you do this? I want to know how to do it because I really would love to sell the books that are occupying all the space in my dining room. I had 3,000 books sitting in my dining room at the time.
I know that feeling.
Well, and the strange thing was, as ignorant as this may sound, I assumed that when I wrote the book, the buyers would come. And that was not the case. That was not what I was experiencing.
We've all had those dreams. Build it right. And they will come.
Exactly. So in the most simplistic way, let me explain a 7-step process for online book marketing, to create an online book marketing campaign, so I can give you some nice bite-sized chunks of value. The first thing is that it's really important to choose a particular date or dates. Like my campaign was 48 hours. Most campaigns are done over 24 hours or 48 hours. It's kind of like a store that's decided they're going to have a sale on a particular date. Same thing. You pick the date of your sale, of your special campaign. That's where you really start. So you can, it's sort of like work from the end in mind. And I would give myself, if you know what to do already, I would still give myself a couple months to prepare in advance. Now, when I did my first campaign, I didn't. I gave myself 3 weeks. And fortunately, it was a great success. I was working around the clock to do that. But I'd give myself now a couple months to really get ready. Next step is to gather up or create and or create bonus gifts, which are typically downloadable bonus gifts that are real value, that are in alignment with what the book is, that you can give away as special bonus incentives for the campaign when the buyers buy your book on that day. So what you're doing is you're going to say, I want you to come and buy my book on this day, and for doing so, I'm going to reward you for helping me by giving you all this incremental value of other bonus gifts. And they can be e-books, they could be workbooks, guidebooks, downloadable audio, could be teleconferences, webinars, could be discount coupons. There's so many things that you can bundle up. But it is important to make sure that it's valuable and that it's in alignment with what the book is. Otherwise, people get confused when they see bonus gifts that are not in alignment. Next thing that you do, and this is probably the most critical part of the entire formula, is you need to align yourself with owners of email lists. Those are people that have already true opt-in subscribers that have gone to their websites and said, I want to receive regular information from you, so I'm opting into your newsletter, e-zine. And what you do is you align yourself with the owners of those email lists that are reaching your target audience. That's a really important part. So, and this can work for any type of book. I've done campaigns for fiction books. I've done campaigns for nonfiction books. So it's not limiting any particular category, because you've got to really understand there's close to 1 billion people online today, and that number grows every single day. So the people are online. Borders are down. We can sell products and books and services anywhere. So what we need to do is find out who's already reaching our audience and then get yourself in alignment with those folks. The fourth step is that you've got to create a sales letter, and this is really what the end user or the email subscriber is going to receive on a particular day, on the day of your campaign. And this sales letter, which is an email basically, is going to excite them, entice them, motivate them to go and buy your book immediately. It has to have certain things in there, must have a sense of urgency in there, must help them understand very simplistic terms, what you want them to do. You've got to have it really aligned with benefits, because people are motivated to buy based on what they're going to gain, or it's going to help them get out of some kind of a pain. So you have to have all these elements in that sales letter, that email that's going out to people, and that's another critical part of the whole campaign. I would say that aligning yourself with the lists and writing that sales copy is really, really, really important. Then number five is to create a way that the buyers can buy your book and that they can get the bonus gift. Like I said earlier, they've got to be able to understand it. It's got to be really dirt simple. If it's not dirt simple, if the instructions aren't simple, then you're going to lose buyers. You always have to put your hat on when you're doing this as an author, as a customer. You've got to think like the customer. You've got to look at your creation of your campaign as what would they be, you know, thinking about? What questions would come up for them? And would this be easy for them to understand? So when you're creating this, you're wearing your customer's hat, thinking like they would think, so that you're making sure that you're checking off those boxes and making sure that everything's really easy to understand. So when I say create a way for your buyers to buy the book, it could be as simple as, I want you to go to Amazon.com and buy a copy of my book, or I'd like you to go to BarnesandNoble.com. In my case, for my books, I've always sent the buyers to Destinies.com because I like the profit margin much better on my own site, being a self-published author, than I do at Amazon.com, because they take a 55% margin, and then I have to ship the books down to them, and I pay the shipping, and so I've always done my campaigns on my own website. But why an author would do it by sending the buyers to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com is, as you said with Debbie's book, How to Have the Best Year of Your Life, is that it rises up the ranking on Amazon.com, gets a lot more visibility because Amazon has huge amounts of traffic that are coming to the site every day. So if they see Debbie Ford has a brand new book out, she's going to get a lot more visibility as the book is in the bestseller category, and that's what authors are really striving for. Plus, when you do achieve the bestseller status on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, it's something that you own forever. And then you can use that in your marketing initiatives when you're going for offline publicity as well. So next step, number six, is just make sure everything is coordinated. I think you have to be very, very well organized. If you're not organized, I'd suggest get organized when you're doing a campaign. You've got to make sure that you've followed up with everyone, that you've tested everything, that it's all aligned to your particular date, that you're ready to serve people. If they come to your site and have a question still, but they want to buy your book, you want to be able to answer them quickly. So really be organized, have everything coordinated, and make sure it's all done professionally, because that's the impression that the whole public is going to get of you when they see your campaign and it's launched. And then the final step, number seven, is to push the button. So it's the day of your campaign, or the day before actually of your campaign, and now you've got everyone aligned to send out your emails, and you've said, yes, you know, now I want you to go. Now I want you to buy the book, and you make sure that you do it and it's all done on the day of your campaign or the day before your campaign, usually at midnight on the day of the day before your campaign is really where you set it to go, so that everything can start to come in, your sales start to come in, and you can watch the results and enjoy selling your books and reaching people all over the world.
Wow, I'm exhausted. I knew it was a lot of work. I didn't even realize it was that much work. That was a great overview. And here's just a couple of other questions I have. So getting use of these other people's lists, that sounds to me like one of the hardest parts of it. Are there, you know, without giving away everything you do in your course, are there a few simple steps you can share?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do that because, as you said, you can see that it's a very important part of the step. It is the most critical part in the whole campaign. And I'll tell you, one of the challenges that I found with working with authors, and even myself when I was doing this the first time, one of the concerns that came up for me, I'll talk about my own experience, was to call up someone that I didn't know let's say, well, I'll use my friend now, David Ricklin of selfgrowth.com. Now, David was obviously reaching the audience that I wanted to reach. And so I knew for me to be successful, I had to get myself aligned with David Ricklin so that I could reach the genre of people that are interested in self-help. That's my book. So what you need to do is you have to get on the phone. You have to be prepared to get on the phone and connect with these people. So you can do campaigns even if you don't have a list. And because I didn't have a list when I did my very, very, very first campaign. But you got to get on the phone with them. But before you do that, do your research. So what I suggest is to do your research when you're going to contact someone who has a large email list. Take a look at their site. Really look at what's there, because you'll get a good feel for who they are, what's important to them, what are their values, what's the value that they're delivering to their customer, and probably understand what their motivating factors are, so that when you get on the phone, you can build rapport with them. It's really almost like a sales game, because you're going to get on the phone and say, hey, you know, my name is Peggy McCall. I've got this book. It's on being the creator of your destiny. You know, I can see from your site, from all of the articles and all these self-help experts, that you really, you know, are someone who contributes to the self-help industry in a huge way. So it's not necessarily that you're stroking their ego, but you're connecting with them, and you're connecting them with them by in a way that obviously you're saying, you know, I'm in the same mindset. I love this stuff, and I want to help people too, and I recognize that you're somebody who truly does deliver value. So you call them up, you connect with them, you can compliment them. And then the next part of this, which is really critical to getting them aligned once you've established the rapport and you've connected with them, is to help them understand how they benefit. Because if you're a list owner, and now I have a list, it's a small list, but as a list owner, I consider that I need to always look for ways that I can serve my subscribers. And so same idea as, you know, you put your hat on as a customer. You've got to put your hat on as a list owner. So what are they looking for? Well, they're looking for ways that they can bring more value to their subscribers. If they can understand, if they can know that that's what you want to do, you want to just bring more value to their subscribers. Why? Because when they invest $12, which is not a lot of money, they invest $12, they're going to get all this exponential value in exchange for that, when they buy one copy of your book on this particular day. So, and it's only going to be that period of time that offer is available. It's like, you know, you can't go and get Debbie's deal today. It was available when she did the campaign. And I got an email this morning from someone who wanted the same deal that Gary Renard was offering last month, and it's no longer available. So there's a scarcity factor that's built in. They've got to get it on that date. So a list owner, once they understand, and we have to be, you know, as an author, we're responsible for teaching them what's the value, you know, what's the value in it for me. So the value is that they are going to bring an exceptional value or an exceptional offer to their subscribers. Another thing that may motivate and has motivated list owners is if they can contribute a bonus gift to your campaign as well. And let me give an example of why that benefits them. Not only are they going to get exposure to their own list with this extra bonus gift, with their free downloadable bonus gift, but everyone else that you've aligned yourself with, who are obviously in the same category, self-help, and we'll use in my case, they're going to get exposure to you, and they may not have known who you were before. So if you offer a bonus gift to be included in someone else's campaign, which I do all the time, I have e-books and I have e-workbooks, I have downloadable audio. If someone wants my stuff, it doesn't cost me anything to provide that. So I will include my bonus gifts in other people's campaign, and that gives me huge exposure. It's targeted marketing that doesn't cost me anything. So really, as an author, getting other people to help us, other people with lists, is just educating on how they benefit.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your teleclass and how it works? And it's clear, I'm sure, to everybody listening to this why they would need to do a course with you on this to get walked through all the details. But what more can you tell us about it, and how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. Our teleclass is called Bestseller Mentoring, and it's on our website, which is www.bestsellermentoring.com. And I've partnered up with this program with Randy Gilbert. And why we partnered together is that both of us do campaigns for other authors, and we have been for quite a while. We started with our own campaign. So what we do throughout this 8-week period of time is we guide authors through the steps to create a successful online book marketing campaign. How we do that is we give a ton of material, but we walk it through. We spread it out over 8 weeks so it's more digestible chunks. So we have those checklists that I talked about. We have templates. We have samples. We have sample bonus gifts. We have sample sales letters. We have email content. We have scripts lined up. You know, if you want to contact someone, here's what we suggest you do. Here's how you do your research. We give out spreadsheets of different genres and newsletters, and we also guarantee our program. So what I mean by that is when an author signs up for the bestseller mentoring program, if they do not reach the bestseller list following our formula, they will get their money back 100%. Wow. That demonstrates how much we believe in this.
Wow, that's great. That is great. Well, I know personally that this is really the future of book marketing in a very big way. I've watched many of my clients and family do these campaigns, and I also know firsthand how hard it is because I tried doing one on my own without Peggy's help, and it wasn't nearly as successful as I thought it was going to be. So I can only say that I love what you do, I support you, and I'm so glad I can call you my friend. Thank you so much for just sharing all this information today. And those of you listening, if you're really smart, go to bestsellermentoring.com. Thank you, Peggy.
You're very welcome. My pleasure, Arielle. Thank you.